Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. This evening's main headlines, Mark McSharry says Fianna Fáil is a one-man show, after resigning from the parliamentary party last night, saying he couldn't support Simon Coveney. Simon Harris says he's strongly considering making a complaint against Sinn Féin TD Matt Carthy for what he says was a misuse of Dáil privilege yesterday. The Taoiseach has come under pressure once again to commit to a 100% MICA redress scheme. NPHET has given the go-ahead for restrictions to ease on Monday as planned, and the head of the HSE has defended a loss of tens of millions of euro on ventilator orders that never arrived. And we'll have those stories in full and a lot more, as well as the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin and the latest farming news with Chris Ashmore in the next half hour. Back to our main stories now this evening, however, and Mark McSharry says that Fianna Fáil is a one-man show after he resigned from the parliamentary party last night, saying he could not support Simon Coveney. In a letter to the Taoiseach, Deputy McSharry said the party's positioning and policy is being determined in an undemocratic as well as totalitarian way. It's the first time in the history of the South Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim constituency that it hasn't been represented by a Fianna Fáil TD. And speaking today to Ocean FM, Deputy McSharry says that no leader of the party has acted like Micheál Martin.
It's very sad to say that it's a one-man show, and everybody else is expected to row in blindly. They get to voice their view. But their views have no consequence as to the actions of the leader, and it's the sad reality of it, and that wasn't the case for any other leader. The leadership and how they approach it have become that. I mean, there's nothing in the letter that I issued that's factually incorrect, and if anybody who reads it has been truthful and has the knowledge I have, they won't disagree with a single word in it. That's a very sad thing to say.
Simon Harris says he's strongly considering making a complaint against Sinn Féin TD Matt Carthy for what he says was a misuse of Dáil privilege. During an unsuccessful no-confidence motion last night on Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney, the Sinn Féin TD claimed the Higher Education Minister had leaked confidential information from Cabinet. Simon Harris says he is thinking about complaining to the Dáil Procedures Committee.
Dáil privilege is there for very specific reasons, and it's certainly not there to engage in a tittle-tattle, which I think is effectively Deputy Carthy said he was repeating what he believed to be general knowledge. He was making a very serious charge on the record of the House in the absence of my presence there because I was unavoidably somewhere else. It was untrue and it was a misuse of Dáil privilege. Deputy Carthy has now asserted on the National Airwaves that he stood up in Dáil Éireann yesterday without any evidence whatsoever, without talking to his party leader, without talking to the Taoiseach or the Taoiseach, without any evidence, and made comments that I think if they were said outside of here, they would be defamatory. Deputy Carthy did yesterday was a misuse of Dáil privilege.
Also, the Finance Minister has said that Matt Carthy's claims about Cabinet leaks are outrageous. Pascal Donoghue says the claim made by Deputy Carthy yesterday regarding Simon Harris was untrue.
The allegation that has been made against him is outrageous. Sinn Féin did use Dáil privilege last night to make a number of assertions against a really critical member of our government in Minister Harris. He's always conducted himself with the highest of standards.
The Taoiseach has come under pressure once again to commit to a 100% MICA redress scheme. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty urged Leo Varadkar in the Dáil earlier today to uphold a commitment he made in 2018 that MICA-affected homeowners would receive parity with pyrite homeowners. Tomorrow's a big day for 100% redress campaigners, as members of the Defective Blocks Working Group will submit their final position paper to the government. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty told the Dáil that there are countless families still continuing to suffer in the midst of the MICA crisis.
Let me again talk to you about the commitment that you made to those families and to the working group back in 2018. You said parity with the pirate scheme. That is what is fair. That is 100% redress. You voted here in June for 100% redress. And yes, I know that nothing's simple. I know that I's have to be dotted, T's have to be crossed, and all of that detail has to be put down on paper. But there are countless families that are suffering with mental health pressures, with anxiety, not knowing what the future holds for them, for their families. That burden can be lifted off them today from you by recommitting that your government will provide 100% redress to these families. giving voice to the motion that was passed here in this Dáil on the 15th of June, re-articulating the commitment that you gave to the families when you were Taoiseach. So, Minister, can I put it to you, beyond trying to find a solution and an enhanced scheme, which could mean many things, do you commit to these families for 100% redress?
Responding to Deputy Doherty, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar accepted that changes are needed to the scheme, but did not confirm that he would be seeking 100% redress today.
The current scheme was agreed in collaboration with local action groups, the local authorities and homeowner reps. The decision to go with the grant scheme, as opposed to the type of scheme provided under the Pyrite Remediation Board, was done with the intention of giving homeowners flexibility to manage their own projects and allow them to deal directly with their appointed contractor. The defective concrete blocks scheme is intended to put homeowners in the position where they would have been in their home had it not been for the defective concrete blocks. It was not the intention of the scheme that it would fully cover the costs of a new built home to 2021 building standards, with all new house components funded by the Exchequer. Grant schemes generally seek a recipient contribution so as to control costs, incentivise the use of appropriate remediation options and promote the reuse of materials where that's feasible. But we do accept that we need a significantly enhanced scheme that is being developed at the moment. I can't make any definitive commitments on that at present. That'll be a matter for government to decide before the end of the month. But I know the Minister is committed to working with the homeowners to find a resolution to this problem.
Thank you,
and I accept that resolution is long overdue.
A junior minister has said that he supports a 100% redress scheme for anyone caught up in the Mica scandal. It comes as the government faces increasing repair and rebuilding costs, with more councils across the country set to seek funding. Local authorities in Clare, Limerick, Sligo and Tipperary are all likely to submit applications for Mica redress funding. Junior Minister Niall Collins says a small number of homes have been impacted in his native Limerick.
A number of houses that were built, which were actually supplied by a quarry from outside of the county of Limerick. But that being said, I've stood in the houses of people who are impacted by Mica. It's a truly appalling situation.
NPHET has given the go-ahead for restrictions to ease on Monday as planned. That includes the phased return to workplaces and further relaxation of rules on indoor and outdoor activities. NPHET also today considered whether guidelines for close contacts can be eased. They have agreed these rules might be eased for children by the end of this month and by the end of October for adults. Over 12,000 pupils are currently absent from schools because they've been in contact with a confirmed COVID case. The head of the HSE has defended a loss of tens of millions of euro on ventilator orders that never arrived. Last year, the health service ordered 81 million euro worth of ventilators from 10 suppliers it had not dealt with before. Less than 500 of those ventilators arrived from that assignment, and most have since been sent to India to help their aid efforts. The HSE has gotten back more than half the money involved, and Chief Executive Paul Reid said today the orders have to be understood in the context in which they were made.
We did use a significant proportion of the ventilators that we had purchased before this from our traditional suppliers also. And just very briefly, Deputy, and I know you say you don't want to talk about context, but it is important. We did not have sufficient ventilators by any guesstimate of what we were forecast was going to happen.
The British Army has been asked to send up to 100 Armed Forces medics to help deal with the number of COVID-19 patients in Northern Ireland. It's understood they're wanted to support both Belfast City and Ulster hospitals throughout October. A defence source says the request is being looked at and a decision is expected next week. It comes as 1,071 new COVID cases were reported by the North's Department of Health today. There are now 461 patients being treated for the virus in hospitals in Northern Ireland, with 43 of those now in ICU. 24 COVID-related deaths were recorded in the Republic of Ireland in the week up to the 14th of September. The average age of those that died was 79. Four further COVID-related deaths were recorded in Donegal, but not all of those deaths necessarily happened in the week covered by the latest figures. The number of COVID-related deaths in Donegal since the pandemic began is now 179, 3.6% of all COVID-related deaths recorded here. The DUP leader says the president's decision to not attend an event in County Armagh is a snub to unionists. A church service is due to be held to commemorate the centenary of the Northern Irish state. Britain's Queen has also been invited to attend the event, and DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson says he's disappointed Michael D. Higgins has not explained why he's not going.
It's difficult not to conclude that there's politics at play here, and many will see that as a snub in terms of marking the occasion of Northern Ireland's centenary. And I think we can do that in a respectful way without anyone being required to abandon their own strongly held political views and beliefs.
Relatives of troubled victims are set to speak to the UN Human Rights Council today. It's part of an attempt to stop a UK government proposal to ban all troubles-related prosecutions. It means no ex-soldiers or paramilitaries would be able to be convicted for historical killings in Northern Ireland. Grainne Taggart is campaigns manager with Amnesty International Northern Ireland. She says those responsible for human rights violations should not be placed above the law and given amnesty.
Today, Amnesty and a group of victims of the Troubles are collectively calling on the United Nations Human Rights Council to challenge the UK government's plans to shield perpetrators of human rights abuses and permanently deny justice to all Troubles victims. We cannot allow those responsible for murder, torture and other grave human rights violations to be placed above the law and beyond accountability. And that's exactly what we see in the plans put forward by the UK government. So this is about putting the international spotlight on those plans and encouraging the international human rights community to play their role in helping us mount an opposition to these proposals.
Accommodation shortages continue to impact students attending Letterkenny Institute of Technology, with some students reportedly being forced to stay in hotels. It's estimated that between 150 and 200 additional rooms are needed for students attending LYIT this year. The pandemic and uncertainty as to whether courses would be online or not this year are among a number of issues said to be causing such shortages. Edward Grant, the Vice President of Equality and Welfare at the Students' Union at LYIT, said on today's 9 till noon show that some students are now considering deferring their courses for a year.
All we can do from the union side is appeal to landlords, the same as we have been for the last 3-4 weeks. As I said, coming on just to thank everyone who did come forward last time for an extra 34 rooms. It's helping a lot of students, but unfortunately there's a lot more that do need. That's 34 students now able to access their education this year, which is brilliant, but well, I've had 200 more students come forward calling. It just seems to be endless. If you have a room in your house, you can rent it out. There's actually a government scheme, Rent a Room.
Right.
So it means you get tax-deductible income from students if you're renting a room to them.
How short of rooms do you think we are? Can you put a figure on it?
I wouldn't know off the top of my head, but I'd say 150, 200 more. I'm doing this, to be honest. People contact me as well in the last couple of weeks looking to see if they can defer places from LYIT or even get the courses transferred to places that might be closer to them because they just can't seem to find the accommodation. Both the college and the government need to start implementing processes and start to appeal to more providers because it's going to end up building and building up. This is the first year we've seen it now.
Yeah.
Crash as badly as it has, but it's just going to get worse.
The time is coming up on 13 minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll take a quick break now and Sport with Kenny is coming up after these.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Exclusive stockists of Jim Goddess leggings with nationwide next day delivery.
The time is now 16 minutes past 5. Time to go to the sports desk with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Daniel. In Gaelic games, Seamus McEnany will remain in charge of the Monaghan senior footballers for next season 2022. It has been confirmed. McEnany is set for his third year in charge and his second stint at the helm of his native county, having returned for a second bite of the cherry ahead of the 2020 season. In soccer, the Republic of Ireland are down three places to 50th in the latest FIFA World Rankings. England, they've jumped up to third place behind leaders Belgium and Brazil. World champions France, they're fourth. European champions Italy are fifth. Wales are 19th. Scotland are 45th. And Northern Ireland, they're 47th. Well, English-born striker Lucy Quinn has declared for the Republic of Ireland. The 27-year-old Birmingham City striker has joined the squad for Tuesday's friendly against Australia. She'll link up with six Irish teammates from the Women's Super League club. They include Louise Quinn, Marie Hourihan and Harriet Scott. And Chris Hughton, he's been sacked as manager of Nottingham Forest. Another former Irish international, Stephen Reid, has taken temporary charge at the City ground. More locally, Darren Murphy is the new permanent manager of Cove Ramblers. He was appointed interim boss in July when Stuart Ashton left the club. Well, on the pitch tonight, West Ham make their first appearance in the group stages of the Europa League. They open their campaign with a trip to Croatian side Dinamo Zagreb. Manager David Moyes believes it will be a steep learning curve for his team.
We've tried to take everything on really positively, really forward thinking. But ultimately, you know, we know that we are new to the competition. But I think we've got a good squad, and I think we've got a team which hopefully we'll get to understand the longer we go in the competition.
That match kicks off shortly at 5:45, and at the same time, Celtic, they're away in Spain, they're away to Real Betis. Elsewhere in the group stages, Rangers, they play Lyon, and Leicester, they face Napoli. While Tottenham Hotspur, they're in action as well this evening, they're away to Rennes in the Conference League. Other news cross-channel, Burnley manager Sean Dyche has signed a new four-year contract with the Premier League club. The 50-year-old Claret's boss is the longest-serving manager in the English top flight. The new deal runs until the summer of 2025. Dyche has been in charge for 9 years and has kept Burnley in the Premier League for 6 consecutive seasons. In rugby, Ulster head coach Dan McFarlane says Duane Vermeulen will strengthen the province's winning mindset. The World Cup winning number 8 will join Ulster in November from the Blue Bulls. Vermeulen was named man of the match in the 2019 World Cup final. Meanwhile, in ladies rugby, Irish out-half Stacey Flood says the team need to be more clinical in the remaining World Cup qualifiers. They face Italy on Sunday off the back of this week's 8-7 defeat to Spain. Flood says Ireland need to take their chances when they arise.
You're actually expecting more now. And it's great to see, and it's great to be able to have the facilities we have and everything we have behind us. So it's only going the better way, and hopefully clubs and interpros can follow in the footsteps of the national team, and we can get all the standards driven, and it'll work up then and work down the same way. Yeah.
In golf, Niall Kearney holds a one-shot lead as the opening day of the Dutch Open draws to a close. He shot a 7-under par round of 65. Martin Simonson and Max Kiefer are his closest competitors on 6-under par. Gavin Moynihan is currently 2-under. Graham McDowell is level par. Cormac Sharvin and James Sugrue, they're both in the clubhouse on 1-over and 2-over par respectively. Paul Dunn shot a 4-over par round of 76. In the PGA Tour, it's the 40-net championship in California. It's the early stages of this event. Webb Simpson, he's leading the way on 3-under par through 5. He's one ahead of Bill Haas, Russell Knox, Sepp Straka, Nate Lashley and Sun Kang. World number 1, John Rahm, he's on level par through 5 holes. Well, on the score this week, Oisin Kelly's joined by former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan on the Ballybofey side's Big Cup quarter final with Dundalk tomorrow night. Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrat and Michael McMullen of the County Derry Post, they talk senior championship action in the Northwest, while Killian Duffy of On the Pace Note looks ahead to a bumper weekend of rally action for Northwest Crews. That's the score programme this evening with Oisin Kelly after the 7 o'clock news. That's your sports this evening. It's back to Daniel.
Thanks, Kenny. And now it's time for the latest in farming news with Chris Ashmore.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their 3 offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. In the years ahead, demand for electricity is set to soar, while at the same time there is a major shift towards electricity generation from renewable resources. Micro-energy projects in areas such as solar, wind and hydro are going to get more and more attention, and many farmers in Donegal could find themselves actually generating small amounts of electricity and selling any surplus into the national grid. Well, to find out more, I've been speaking to Paul O'Brien, who is the chair of the IFA's Environmental and Rural Affairs Committee.
As everybody knows, the government has massive aspirations to reduce the amount of electricity generation from fossil fuels to a situation where 70% of our power need in 2030 will have to come from renewables in some shape or form, whether that's solar, whether that's wind on shore or offshore wind or other renewables. So it's a very, very high target. And on top of that target, there is a forecast that we will need an additional 50% more electricity in 2030 than we are producing or can are consuming today. So there's a massive, massive need for energy to be seen in the future as how can we generate this? How can this be generated at a local source as well? We will have interconnectors with other countries such as France. The Celtic interconnector will be bringing power in from France. There's interconnectors between ourselves and Scotland as well. And really the shaping of the grid is going to change over the next number of years.
And the farming community have a big role to play, and from small to large farmers, there will be opportunities to have various projects that could feed into the national grid.
Yes, and in 2019, the government set up a roadmap of, you know, how can we introduce microgeneration into the grid, and how domestic, farm, small industrial users, how can they go into the grid and be, you know, to be at a scenario where they're able to consume some of their power that they can generate on their own premises and export a portion of their electricity back out to the grid and receive a payment for that. Early on this year in January, the Department of Environment and Climate Change and Climate, they announced a consultation document to go out, and you could feed your submission into there, and with very sort of criteria of how they saw this developing into the future. One of the key things was that if you did set up a solar panels on your sheds, of your farm, or even on your house, you had to show that you were able to use 70% of the power that was generated. So ultimately, if you were feeding back to the grid, you would only be paid on the 30% of surplus electricity that you didn't have the need, or you could not prove that you were able to consume yourself. So there was limitations there, and particularly on some sort of farm scale, you could have 2 meters on a farm, one at the farmhouse, a couple of hundred yards further along, you could have the farmyard, and they're two different meters. But ultimately, we were looking for at the time that these 2 meters could be combined. And then the farmers at that stage then could say, okay, we can produce enough electricity for the house and for the farm. One of the problems that we do have is that not every farm uses a considerable amount of electricity. Your more intensive farms do, whether that's dairy, pigs or poultry. But a lot of dry stock farms and silage farms, they wouldn't have a massive usage of electricity on need on their farm itself. So combining the two, we believe, would have been a very, very good idea.
As we look ahead, we could see, you know, a farm could have solar panels on the farm buildings. There might be a small wind turbine. There might be a hydro project. But ultimately, it has to be something that pays its way. So grants and subsidies will play a big role.
Well, at the moment, TAMS is available. Targeted Agricultural Modernisation Scheme is available for farmers who wish to apply for TAMS funding for panels on their roof. If this is to be really rolled out, Chris, in a big way, then we are going to have to look at funding for this. But if we really, really do need to design the grid, and we have to look at a whole smart metering rollout as well, but ultimately, if every house will be able to kind of generate its own electricity from, as you say, you know, panels on the roof, or you know, maybe, and when we're saying small scale wind, we're only talking small scale. We're not talking the super size 150 meter structures. We're talking very, very small for farm led. And at that stage, yes, you know, there would need to be support available for farmers or domestic, but that they need to be continued in order for this to really get widespread adoption.
And no doubt we can learn from the experiences of other countries, particularly here in Europe. I take it we're lagging a little bit behind in this regard.
Well, you've used the term lagging, and it was even referred at the time by the Taoiseach of the day that we are laggards in Europe when it comes to renewables. I think the reality is that if you look at where we are today compared to our counterparts in the EU, we are so far behind when it comes to small-scale or micro-generation. other countries such as Germany, 12.5% of their grid is made up of small individual farms or businesses or households feeding back into surplus, into the, their surplus back into the grid. And the reality is that we're very low single digits.
Just to explain to people that, you know, one part of the problem is here, we, most consumers, we're getting the electricity in, but we have to have a system in place that if we have a surplus, that we can put it back into the grid. And that is a key element, isn't it?
That's absolutely. And the rollout of smart metering, which should be completed by 2024, we believe, that would help. So in other words, if you are exporting out, then your smart meter is going to be able to say how much you've used today yourself from your own panels, but also how much you've exported to the grid. We do need to understand that this is going to be a 10-year transition from where we are today to where we have to be into the future.
If I could just go to the particular sector of solar panels, the south and the east of the country, there's been quite a bit of activity, quite a lot of planning permission applications in, and we're actually seeing companies, particularly from Britain, taking a real look at Ireland.
Some of the present projections would be that there's the potential to have about 20,000 acres of solar farm in the country as a part of the basket full of measures that will be needed. But the supply of the market, it has to be guaranteed. In other words, Chris, we can't have a situation like we have at the moment where, you know, Moneypoint has been kind of mothballed for a number of years, but coal has now been brought into the ports in around Limerick and Clare just in case we need to fire up Moneypoint in the future, because the last thing any of us wants is blackouts. So the micro generation has a massive role to play, particularly in regions and areas, to make sure that, you know, secure electricity is going to be there for everybody. I would encourage everybody, just do your research, but you also have to take a long-term view on renewables. It's not a get-rich-quick scenario. It's small, sustainable income coming in into the future. If anybody wants to talk to the IFA on this, we can give a certain amount of advice, particularly at farm level scale.
And that was Paul O'Brien, the National Chair of the IFA's Environment and Rural Affairs Committee. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafo Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Thanks for that, Chris. And now this evening's weather, cloudy with some patchy rain and drizzle, becoming more persistent in western areas this evening. Tonight, there will be outbreaks of rain turning persistent and locally heavy overnight. It'll be a mild night, however, with temperatures not falling below 13 to 15 degrees. And finally now, this evening's main headlines once again. Mark McSherry says that Fianna Fáil is a one-man show after he resigned from the parliamentary party last night, saying he could not support Simon Coveney. In a letter to the Taoiseach, Deputy McSherry said the party's positioning and policy was being determined in an undemocratic and totalitarian way. Simon Harris says he's strongly considering making a complaint against Sinn Féin TD Matt Carthy for what he says was a misuse of Dáil privilege. During an unsuccessful no-confidence motion last night regarding Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney, the Sinn Féin TD claimed the Higher Education Minister leaked confidential information from Cabinet. The Taoiseach has come under pressure once again to commit to a 100% mica redress scheme. Donegal Deputy Pearce Doherty told the Dáil there were countless families still continuing to suffer in the midst of the mica crisis. Responding to him, the Taoiseach accepted changes needed to be made, but that he did not commit to a 100% scheme today. NPHET has given the go-ahead for restrictions to ease on Monday as planned. That includes the phased return to workplaces, as well as further relaxation of rules in indoor and outdoor activities. NPHET also today considered whether guidelines for close contacts can be eased. And finally, the head of the HSE has defended a loss of tens of millions of euro on ventilator orders that never arrived. Last year, the health service ordered €81 million worth of ventilators from 10 suppliers it had not dealt with before. Less than 500 of those ventilators then arrived, and most have then since been sent to India to help their aid efforts. The HSE has gotten back more than half the money involved, and Chief Executive Paul Reid said today, orders have to be understood in the context that they were made last March. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll have the latest headlines coming up for you at 6 o'clock once again. But until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Thursday evening, September the 16th. The death has taken place of John Tosser McCrossan, 4 Marion Park, Strabane. Funeral leaving Quigley's Funeral Home, Strabane, on Saturday at 9:30 a.m. for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Macmillan Cancer Support, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam at mcnmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Grace McDade, Lower Crone, Remelton. Remains will repose at her home from 5 p.m. this evening. The wake is private to family, neighbours and friends. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St Mary's Church, Remelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Remelton. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Donegal Hospice Palliative Care, care of Patrick Sweeney, funeral director, or any family member. The death has occurred of Mary O'Donnell, Dear Law, and formerly of Drimnadidge, Letchermack Award. Her remains will be reposing at her daughter Margaret Traherty's house, Dear Law, from 4 p.m. this afternoon. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 12 noon in Letchermack Award Church, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. The death has occurred of Mary Sweeney, Ní Fraile, Carol Kilglebe, Tamni Fanad, and formerly of Glenswilly. Mary's remains are reposing at the family home. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m, going to St. Columbus Church Mass Mount for 12 noon Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The funeral mass can be viewed on the St. Mary's Fanavolti and St. Columbus Mass Mount Facebook page. The death has taken place of Michael McFadden, Nicky Tam, Derry Reel, Falkara. His remains are reposing at his late residence. House private to family and friends only, please. Funeral mass at 12 noon tomorrow in St. Finian's Church, Falkara, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary in the home tonight at 9 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Carton Funeral Directors. The funeral mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv.